Hello, everyone, and welcome to Canadian Sport Institute Pacific's PodiumCast podcast. In this podcast, we explore cutting-edge ideas, gain valuable insights, and dive into athletes' journeys from the world of high-performance sport. All right, here we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Podium Cast. My name is Kendra Stoner, and I will be your host. Today, I have with me John Smythe. He's part of the men's national field hockey team. John Smythe's introduction to field hockey came at a young age as both his older brothers, Jeff and Ian, played club hockey with the Vancouver Hawks. John not only went on to follow in his footsteps playing for the Hawks, but followed his brother Ian to the national team. He made his senior debut in 2013 in Chile. In 2014, he was part of the national team that stunned at the Champions Challenge, beating the hosts Malaysia in a shootout for the ages and taking home the silver medal. John Smythe has more than 115 caps for Canada and is hoping to add several more as Canada prepare for the Olympic Games in Tokyo. In 2007, John's colon was removed after he was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, UC, a disease that results in painful inflammation and ulcers in the colon. UC causes severe pain and weight loss and is a condition which makes it impossible to play hockey. At the time, John was a promising team member and seemed set to follow his brother into the national setup. John's health problems continued, and 3 years later, he was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, a type of inflammatory bowel disease that can affect any part of the gastrointestinal tract. The hard work with training and gaining strength in his health paid off, and in 2014, 7 years after his initial diagnosis, John made his senior debut in a four-team event in Chile. Since then, he has been a rock star on the national team. His illness helped him gain a new perspective on certain aspects in his life. And John, I'm so thankful you're here with me today to talk about your journey.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be on this podcast. And I think the intro was probably the hardest in terms of terminology for you to say, but what an intro it was.
I know. I practiced before making sure I got those hard words going. I messed a couple up, but you know, it happens.
Everyone gets the point, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. John, okay, so Tokyo 2020, you're ready for it, you're preparing, you're training, you're getting your body all physically in shape, and then it's postponed. What was that emotional kind of toll like for you?
I'm sure you've spoken to a lot of athletes that have been going through the same feelings and tribulations, and yeah, basically, as athletes, we try to prepare ourselves and our bodies for this one moment, and we want to peak at that July 24th and be peaking for those 2 weeks. And it was hard to just say, okay, we're not actually going to do it, and then everything kind of stopped. So, I mean, when the news first came out and the Canadian Olympic Committee said that we're not going to send any Canadian athletes to it, it was super devastating, and it was a shock to the system. But ultimately, I think it was a very proud moment as a Canadian, knowing that our organization really backs the health of our athletes, and that's what really came first and foremost. So I'm proud that they backed out right away, and there was something bigger on the line. And then there was a sudden relief when I think it was Australia pulled out second, and then the USA pulled out, and then it kind of just snowballed, and then the IOC said, okay, we're going to postpone it. And so, yeah, it was a shock and it was devastating, but I mean, a postponement is way better than a cancellation, and the Olympic dream that everyone has is still alive.
Totally. Yeah. I talked to Scott Tupper about your guys' qualifying match. Holy cow. That's such a trip. What was your
crazy,
feeling?
Yeah, crazy right? Game. Yeah.
What was kind of going through your noggin through that whole thing?
I just like it feels like a dream whenever I talk to people about it or we reminisce as a team, because it was like the most insane sporting event that I've ever seen, let alone being a part of. And for those who don't know, we had a two-game aggregate against Ireland here in West Vancouver. So we had all our friends and family out in the community out to support us. And it came down to literally the second game at 0 seconds on the clock, where we were rewarded a penalty shot, and that sent it into shootouts. And then on top of that, the shootouts went into second sudden death shootouts. And that was just, I mean, it was so amazing and such a great feeling to qualify, especially on home soil. And as you can imagine, the party after was even better.
What? High-performance athletes partying? No way.
I think you got to enjoy the small things in life, like qualifying for the Olympics, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a little bit of an accomplishment. No, honestly, though, John, that's such a sweet, sweet thing you guys got going. Do you think that was your favorite accomplishment as an individual and as a national team?
Hands down, I think it was my biggest accomplishment as a team member, and as I've been on the team, there's fellow teammates of mine who have gone to multiple Olympic games, so I can't speak to that. Maybe that's more overwhelming experience.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
However, I think just the fact that we were on home soil and it never really, we never thought we'd be in that situation playing in front of our fans, because it's so rare to have a big game, and especially with Olympic Games on the line. So that was just an amazing, amazing feeling. So
sick. So field hockey runs in your family. What's with that? Was generationally speaking, did a lot of people go back and play field hockey? How'd you guys get into it?
Generationally speaking, like, none of my parents played the sport. My dad was into soccer, and I don't think my mom played sports at all. So it basically happened because they were putting my eldest brother Jeff into sports, and they had a bad experience with baseball and a coach, so they wanted to look for another spring sport. And they happened to be chatting with one of the parents of a former Canadian team member, and he said, why don't you put him into field hockey? And so then they did, and he liked it, and my brother Ian followed quickly, and he loved it, and then I followed quickly in his footsteps. And it was just we all played a lot of sports growing up, and we were big into soccer, and my eldest brother was big into football, and we loved all of it. But I think field hockey posed the most opportunities to potentially play for the national team and travel the world, and even, I don't even think I was thinking about it back then, but like qualifying a team for an Olympic Games.
Yeah, that's sweet. I bet you guys weren't competitive at all growing up, hey?
Very, very competitive. Yeah. Definitely. Like a lot of bruises, a lot of scratches, a lot of stitches, a lot of visits to the emergency room just from not wanting to lose.
Oh my gosh. Do you guys play a lot like outside and in the summertime and playing against the three boys, just kind of shooting around?
We had a great little basketball court in the backyard that we could play roller hockey on. And I remember that was the go-to game, was to go into the backyard and shoot a puck on the net or just try and play a little bit of hockey. And it was funny because we never played ice hockey growing up either. We just loved it. So
that's so awesome. Little bit about me. I had a friend growing up and she had an older brother. I'm an only child, but he would get us to play hockey, like mini sticks in the hallway, and just so much wrestling around. I was like, wow.
Mini sticks is probably the best game ever created. Yeah. Like if there was a national team, I would try to go for that. Like that's, we grew up on that, and I'm sure like everyone did. Yeah. It would be a very competitive Canadian team, I think.
I think so too. Let's get it going.
Yeah.
All right, so shifting gears a little bit, you've got some stuff going on, John. Do you want to maybe, like, mention a bit about it? Like, I don't know.
I
So
mean,
many things.
your wonderful introduction already kind of touched on almost everything, but yeah, I have a little bit of stuff going on. I mean, it's under control now, but it took a while and a couple of years of trial and error and medications and stuff. But yeah, like you said, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis in 2007.
I did not say that correct.
You did a great job of
Thanks.
pronouncing it. It's a hard word.
You see.
Yeah, you see, there we go. Yeah, so I mean, growing up, I was pretty healthy. No real issues other than like the stitches I've had to go playing, knee hockey in the hallways and stuff. But and then 2007 came around and it kind of just hit me like a bag of, what's the word,
Bricks.
sack, some bricks and sack of potatoes, and all of a sudden this healthy individual is now finding himself in a hospital bed for 2 weeks and not eating and having to be fed through intravenous for probably 2.5 weeks and losing 30 pounds and half my blood, having four blood transfusions. And it was just like a shock. Just no one could have predicted it. And it hit me so hard and so fast. It was moving probably faster than the doctors could even really tell what it was and how severe it was. And next thing you know, we're talking surgery and colon removal. So that's a little bit of
Crazy.
it.
Yeah. And then Crohn's. What's the association with UC and Crohn's? Are they affiliated or?
Yeah, they're very common. Like, from my understanding, and I'm not a medical doctor, but from my understanding and the research I've done is that itis means inflammation. So if you have colitis, it means you have inflammation of your colon, and basically it only affects your colon. However, like you said, Crohn's disease can affect any part of your intestinal tract. So it can hit from anywhere from the gums all the way down to the bum. So that's why they call it gums to bum, but that's a very slang term.
Kind of like
Yeah.
it though.
But so when we were diagnosed, or when I was diagnosed and we were talking about treatment, if you don't have a colon, you can't effectively have colitis. So it went about 3 years of just trying to get my body into a remission and trying different medications, and it got to a point where I was like, well, maybe this isn't colitis, maybe it's Crohn's, because they did a bunch of scopes, which I won't go into too much detail about,
Oof.
and they found more inflammation kind of creeping up into the small intestine, and then I think that's when it starts to go, okay, this is a different disease.
Wow. Lots of trial and error. How did you? I read that you kind of were able to find humor and appreciate kind of not taking things for granted. How did that kind of, because this trial and error, like you were diagnosed and then it was something else, like how did that humor kind of set in there?
Yeah, I just think that you can't make bad situations into feeling even worse. It's just life gives you obstacles and you got to find a way around it and you got to roll with the punches sometimes. So it was just like, okay, if this doesn't work, what's the next plan? It was never like, oh no, this is it. This is the only thing that's going to work. It's like, okay, we need to problem solve. If this doesn't work, what can we do? So as we were going on with that, we tried a drug called Emuren, and I was asking with my gastroenterologist, and I said, what are the side effects if it goes wrong? And he said, well, only 3% of the people who take this drug, they have an allergic reaction to it. And I said, okay, well, what can you get, or what are the side effects to the allergic reaction? And he said, well, they develop pancreatitis. And lo and behold, 3 days later, I'm in the
No
hospital,
way.
and they're like, well, have you eaten anything or taken anything in the last 3 days? And I'm telling these ER docs, like, I'm pretty sure it's this drug I just went on, and I'm pretty sure it's pancreatitis. And then they ran some tests, and they came back, and they're like, yeah, you're totally right, it is. Your
Wow.
pancreas is three times enlarged than normal, and so they took me off that drug, and right away I felt 100 times better.
Jeez. Of course, eh? 3%? Brutal. Oh, man. So how has all of this affected your athletic career? Obviously, you had to kind of get things in check, losing 30 pounds and not eating for a couple weeks. Like, that's crazy, but did you ever, like... I have so many questions. This is so hard. Like, did you ever think you were not going to play again?
Definitely. Definitely. There was probably 3 years of my career I was thinking, okay, I'm done with the national team.
Oh, John, hold up. You have cut out. Oh.
So, yeah, there was about a three-year period in which I didn't think I was ever going to play on the national team. And so that shifted my focus as I was in UBC to, okay, I'm not going to play for the national team. Now I got to find out what career I'm going to do and kind of explore the path of where I'm going to go down. So I still played for the varsity team at UBC and I loved it. And ultimately that's what really pushed me through. And that gave me an opportunity because once you love something, you're going to try and get better at it. And as you improve, you get noticed. And so I got noticed by a coach. And they asked me if I wanted to come out to a tryout. And I said, well, yeah, I got nothing to lose. So let's go for it. And then probably 3 weeks later, the coach called me up and said, yeah, we want you on the squad. And that's a huge feat in itself because I always wanted to just kind of get the gear and have that Canada and be able to wear something that says Canada and really, you know, savor that moment.
Yeah.
And then now it's shifting the focus on, okay, now I got to get my first cap. And that's even a hard feat in itself. Mm-hmm. It's, you got to break through and try and be the top 18 of a probably 26 squad team.
Yeah, that's a pretty intense. I know Scott, or maybe it was Harry Jones. No, that's rugby. Oh my gosh, I'm getting confused. Field hockey. Scott was telling me how there's just such a big squad that like some guys still don't even know, like a couple weeks going before the games, if they're going to be going or not.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuts.
And for any Olympic games or Commonwealth games or Pan American games, you take that 18 that you usually take to 16. So it's even a bigger.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a little, like probably 40 seconds ago, that nothing to lose. I feel like that's been a big mindset. Do you think that was a shift from all your like health issues that you went through that you were just like, well, here I am. There's nothing to lose now, you know?
Yeah, I think I learned, I mean, kind of going through a traumatic experience like that, you kind of just... if it doesn't work out, there's always something else to do.
Yeah, roll with the punches a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And so if I was to not make a team or not get selected for a squad or whatever it might be, it's a matter of just thinking, okay, well, I can just shift focus onto something else because life goes on, right?
Yeah.
But I do love playing and I love pushing myself, so I keep finding myself trying to get better and better. And I mean, this is the dream, is traveling and playing and being with your friends. And
love it. What do you have to consider that other athletes might not have to?
So I basically, your colon helps with the extraction of salt and helps retain a lot of water, as well as a storage unit. And so I probably have to stay hydrated, or my hydration level have to be a lot higher than other people because I lose a lot of water. In maintaining a lot of sleep as well, because fatigue sets in. So I've got to get a good sleep, especially because I'll get up in the middle of the night and have to go to the washroom, and that's 2 or 3 times a night maybe, or you know, in the bad situations, it's 6 times a night. And so I've found that in the day, if I can get in like a 20-minute cat nap, it just recharges everything. So when we're training and we're focusing more on getting our bodies to the right level of competition wise, I'll usually come home after training and have a quick little power nap just to get me through the day and be able to get through all the extra curricular activities that I have in my life.
Yeah, there is life outside of sport.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And especially as a field hockey player, you have to plan because you're not getting the million of dollars that maybe other athletes are getting. So
maybe. So are there like good days and bad days?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. There's definitely, you can eat something and you'll have a bad week or a bad day. And then you kind of just have to stop, think about what you ate to set it off. And then you pretty much start adding back in different meals that might not set it off and keep it bland. And then the other part of it is just stress is a huge factor and it causes flare-ups. So especially when I was going through university and having 5 courses and a couple of like exam time was just a nightmare because you're so stressed out. Your body just starts like feeling it, and then it just kind of spirals into even a worse situation. And so by the time I was in third, fourth year, I was just doing 4 courses, maybe even 3 courses, spreading it out into the summer just so I didn't overwhelm myself with stress.
Yeah. What's the mental game like when you're struggling with your disease?
Taking one step at a time, probably. Focusing on, okay, what caused it? And now let's take the precautionary steps to get better. And now let's take the cautionary steps. So, like, you're just kind of implementing different steps and keeping focused. And, you know, you just try and make sure that you keep your stress levels at a very minimum while you're having a flare up. And yeah, there's people going out and having fun in the summertime and all that, but you know what? You're maybe just going to have to miss it because there's bigger goals that you want to accomplish. And that happens to be an Olympic game. So
yeah, that's a big one. How do you keep motivated?
I'm a pretty driven person. Despite anything I've gone through, I've always been that way, and I like to get better and I like to continuously learn, and I strive to be a better person every time I'm on the pitch. So I over the last couple of years, it's definitely been like a sense of purposeful practice, not getting on the pitch and just running through the motions, but really having a goal for that practice. What do I want to accomplish? What do I want to get better on? And that's really driven me, but also the fact that it's just a fun love for the sport. Like, it's my passion. I get to do what I love doing and I get paid for it, and I can travel the world. I mean, it's probably going to be different with COVID, but I've been so blessed to do everything I have done and up to this point.
Yeah, with COVID, how are you guys, the national team, connecting and training right now?
We're pretty lucky that we have a pretty close-knit group of guys and we're all really good friends. So we're probably talking on WhatsApp with everyone almost every second day. And so that's a one way to keep it close. And then when COVID first hit and we had zero training and anything, we would do Zoom chats like every week just to kind of keep it light and keep it... Because the Olympic Games being postponed is a huge traumatic experience, right? And so whatever you can do as a collective to keep yourself sane is very important for your mental health. And so now we're basically just getting back into the gym. So we just saw each other all for the first time in like close contact for 3 months. Obviously, it's social distanced and you're 2 arms length away or whatever it is, but it was nice to see everyone's face and have conversations. And I'm sure IST lead wasn't too happy because we were a little too talkative at the gym and not accomplishing what we need to. But
I bet you guys probably giggles forever.
Yeah, exactly. And now I think we're about to step on the pitch as a team. So we're very happy about that and excited.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
So there's good days and bad days with Crohn's, with your health issues. Do you have tools in the toolbox that kind of help you push through those tougher days when you have a big game coming up or something?
I think you touched on it before, but the humor and the comedy of it all kind of keeps it light. And that helps as a defense mechanism for stress for me. So when we're on game days, I like to keep it light with my buddies on the team, and I use music a lot. So even on the bus, on our prep or to a practice or the practice beforehand or to the game, depending on what type of mood I want to get, if I want to keep it light because I'm really stressed out, I'll have like a more upbeat, fun song. If I'm like ready to go to war, it's more of that, you know,
heavier
music. So I like definitely at the World Cup, because that was the biggest tournament I had been to. That first game is very nerve-wracking, so I just remember saying, okay, don't get yourself too worked up. And I just kind of put on some like nice upbeat fun music, and that kind of helped me settle in.
A little bit of a ritual with the tunes. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Do you have anything you'd like to add talking to upcoming Olympians that are dealing with this postponement and everything? What's kind of some advice from John Smythe?
Oh, I mean, I don't really think you should take advice from me because I'm not an expert, but I mean, just take, if you are struggling, this could be a great opportunity to learn something new, or take your mind off things and take the course, or try and see if you can dive into what you'll do after sport, because, you know, sports at some point will end for everyone. And so that's what I've been doing, is I've just trying to brush up on some courses that I've been taking, and been working a little bit more with RBC and yeah, just trying to better myself and keep my mind off of things. And everything can be worse. It's just a postponement. It's just a year.
Yeah.
It's not a cancellation.
Find some humor.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
John, thank you so much for joining me today on today's episode of the Podium Cast. Really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me.
No, thank you. I had a blast. This was great. I'm glad that we were able to do this.
Yeah, me too. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Have an awesome day. Bye. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Podium Cast. If you have any feedback or topics you'd like covered, send us an email at athlete@csipacific.ca. Stay tuned for our next episode and have a fabulous day.